Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Owanda. Now Ed, generally it's a bit of a slower start to the week, especially when you compare it to really what these markets have been through for this whole year. The first month and a week of trading has been very volatile, and not to say this week won't be volatile, but at least it's a little bit slower to start this week. Seems like all eyes are on inflation data that is coming this week, and estimates, I believe, are for inflation to pull back just a little bit, but still remain quite elevated. What's going to be important about this inflation data for this week, Ed? Because in all fairness, inflation has stayed high and seems to only further confirm the direction that central banks have told us they're moving in.
I feel that everyone's a hawk these days, and we're seeing a major reset as far as inflation impact on rate hiking cycles. And I think that, you know, 2022 has become the year where you're starting to see swap markets are just going super aggressive in these rate hiking bets. So for the Fed, you know, at the end of last year, we were talking 2, maybe 3, and then you get a couple hot inflation reports, supply chain not improving, you know, Powell goes hawk, then all of a sudden we're between 3 to 7, 4 to 7, and now you're starting to have a lot of investors say Fed's going to kick off this rate hiking cycle with a bang, and that you're going to see possibly a half point increase at March. So there's a lot of nervousness that Fed might be a little bit overly aggressive, and we're still going to have the base effects. The base effects are still going to help the inflation later in the year. Supply chain problems are going to hopefully improve. So I think you're seeing that the market is extremely volatile as far as where the needle moves as far as these rate hike expectations. I mean, like now, you know, the 10-year is, you know, at 192 for treasury yields, and that's insane. We're really seeing the market just become very convinced that we're going to get a very aggressive first rate hike, and I think that you're probably seeing that that year over year reading is expected to be hot. I think no one is anticipating that inflation is going to have a downside surprise. And, you know, the consensus from a year ago is between 7 and 7.6. So I think you're probably going to see that, everything that we've heard and talked about, the Omicron impact and wage pressures and everything just spells that, yes, this is going to be another hot number. And next month is probably going to be another hot number. And that should be the catalyst that, you know, does support the argument that the Fed could go very aggressive. Now, I think that, you know, the markets, because the expectations have swung so dramatically, you're probably going to see that a lot of this is priced in. So I think that you might see that it might be time to expect a little bit more of a not so aggressive Fed, just based off of what they're going to have to do. It's not just about interest rate hikes. It's about balance sheet reduction. And I think the Fed's ultimate goal is going to be complicated. And you're seeing this, all around the globe. All the advanced economies are battling this inflation, and everyone has different relative problems with just how they're going to tighten policy here. But I think that you're probably going to see that there's a stronger case to be made that you're probably going to see that the Fed will, I think, go with that 25 basis point, even though we're going to have a hot reading this month and next month, just because of where I think you probably will see that the Fed will be wanting to tighten as far as the balance sheet goes, and they don't want to have this trajectory in yields heal financial conditions. So I think you're going to get some pushback from the Fed. So I think that it should be a very difficult market, especially, you know, trading treasuries. But I think that in the end, this should be still providing us with some support for risky assets. But I think that I think this, you know, next 2 months for stock trading is going to be very choppy.
Yeah, like the Fed has told us, they're going to go slowly with this rate hiking process. So as much as some people are saying it might be 50 basis points, that's not going to happen. The Fed, I'm pretty sure, has told us it's not going to happen, especially early on here. We do talk a lot about U.S. yields, but looking over to Europe, we are seeing yields in Europe broadly move higher and move higher quite aggressively. We look at Italian yields. They were minus 10 basis points 1 week ago. Now they're almost at 50 basis points. The 10-year yield is up to almost 2%. In Greece, the 10-year yield's 2.5%. Overall, rates are rising, not just in the U.S., but even more aggressively now in Europe. Any impacts you see this having, Ed, on the broader financial markets or the big picture story that continues to be, again, central banks tightening?
The move with the European yields is fascinating, because I think for most traders, the belief was that the ECB has, throughout all of last year, has done a very convincing job as far as telling markets they're not going to raise rates in 2022. And all of a sudden last week's ECB policy decision, Lagarde said inflation risks are tilted to the upside. They were unanimous in their concern about inflation. And her tone was very hawkish. And that's what, you know, initially helped push the euro and yields higher. And then you saw a major move in rate hike expectations for the ECB. You know, some of the price action was pretty significant. One of the key headlines that last week that happened was that the German 5-year rose above zero for the first time in a few years, 4 years, I think. You saw the southern periphery, you know, things are just going much higher. And this is a major pivot that, you know, Lagarde had. And today, it's, you know, no surprise that central banks want gradual shifting of expectations. And, you know, she tried to, you know, push back against a lot of these, you know, hawkish rate expectations. And I think that you're going to see that, you know, the central banks from the largest economies are really trying to make sure they don't kill financial conditions. And the problem with the ECB is it's an unbalanced economic recovery. And that's why I think a lot of traders expect them to be slower to move. But, you know, traders, the ECB deposit rate, you know, they're expecting that to rise to zero by year end. So I think there's a lot of traders that are going to be trying to jump on, you know, a long euro trade for several months, just because I think there's this strong belief that even as the Fed tightens more aggressively than the ECB, that the growth potential from Europe is there, and that you're still going to see the Fed is going to really, I think, provide a safety net here for the growth story globally, and that is one trade that markets are really fixated on the growth potential abroad. And Europe never had that trade last year. So I think a lot of traders are still anticipating that Europe is really going to have a very good second half of the year. And most traders are thinking that it's time to scale in and get ahead of that, because as with most moves in markets, they happen well in advance.
Yeah, we're hearing a little bit more buzz about a rebound in the European economy for the latter half of the year, as well as even emerging markets are picking up more steam, and more people are talking about some of the Asian markets and some of the developing markets and even in Africa and in the Middle East. So we are hearing more buzz abroad. But just back to the United States situation here, we are seeing in this interest rate expectation environment, the rate hikes, a lot of sectors selling off. Last year, we saw a lot of weakness under the surface with the market breadth, and we saw a lot of the smaller cap and kind of secondary and tertiary tech companies get hit in the latter part of the year. But But even into the beginning of this year, January, you know, the January effect, and even into February, we've seen some market stalwarts like Netflix getting chopped in half and still having some weakness this week. Facebook/Meta getting a swan dive down. Tesla getting hit. So do you think that with all this reaction, before they've even started hiking rates, that if this escalates into a little bit further of a market rout, that it may temper the Fed's hand?
I think there is definite weakness across several key tech trades that, you know, throughout most of the pandemic were very strong and solid producers that a lot of traders were very upbeat long-term outlooks. And I think what happened was that we saw that there was a big, big disappointment with these specific earning results. And I think that now, you know, this earnings season was a lot of it was about valuations. It was about margins. It was about taking a look at, you know, these companies. How are they going to perform in this, you know, surging interest rate environment? And I think that you're really looking at, you know, the fundamentals. You know, these analysts now are getting paid to do work. And now it's, I think that you're seeing that, you know, as far as Netflix goes, they have so much competition. And I think, you know, one of the reasons why, you know, the selling has resumed again was they had a major, analyst, do another downgrade. And, I think that you're starting to see that, you know, Netflix is not just competing with Prime and Disney. They're competing against YouTube. They're competing against, they have so many other, I think, competition now as people's viewing habits are changing, that there's this belief that, you know, the long-term growth is going to be a lot harder. And they, you know, I think that for Netflix, it's not like they can be like Amazon and just, you know, raise their annual their membership costs and not worry about it. I think there is significant competition out there for them. And I think with Meta, everyone knows that growth is they hit a wall, and they are spending a lot on Meta, the metaverse, and there is no idea on when that will pay off, if it will pay off. So I think that you have a lot of big question marks. And I think Tesla is another, you know, it's a stock that a lot of people love. There are a lot of diehards, and I try never to speak negatively about Tesla just because the Twitter hate is too strong, but they have too much competition right now. I think that's what's the problem for them. And I think that you're also seeing the U.S. is not embracing Tesla, and you're seeing some key contracts and commitments go to other car manufacturers. I think Tesla, they still have a lead. They still have probably a 2-year, you know, good head start against, you know, all these other top auto manufacturers. But the outlook long term, there's a lot of question marks there, and I think that investors want to see a better relationship with the government, as the government really can impose some, you know, true, you know, factors that will help them, you know, with their long-term growth and hiring and jobs and contracts and whatnot. So I think that there's a lot of companies that are good, but you're seeing, I think traders, they're saying like, well, I like my Apples, I like my Googles, I like my Amazons. And then if they have to choose between like a Roblox or a Metaverse or a Meta, Facebook, they're going to go with, I think, some other types of metaverse types equity companies. And I think you're seeing that it used to be that everything moved in one direction. And now, because we have that, you know, surging move in global bond yields, I think that investors are becoming a lot more selective. And this is going to be a difficult environment for a lot of tech stocks. But I think that, you know, the bread and butter ones that have very strong margins, that have pricing power, they're going to probably do very well this year, even though we'll probably see 4 or 5 rate hikes.
Well, Ed, you bring up two really good points there. The theme of there being competition for these companies, that they're not operating in isolation, and that some of these smaller competitors to them may be stealing some of their market share. And you also brought up the fact that earnings season has been a lot more important lately as people look at these valuations and try to determine where some of these larger companies, especially in the tech sector, should be valued. But there's one other force that's really weighing on all companies, and that's the energy sector. And I would throw in a second, and that is, you know, wages. But the energy sector in particular, with these higher prices, that's kind of a tax across the board on all companies and how they mitigate this inflationary pressure. But wages and the need to staff up their companies adequately are another inflationary force hitting companies. So how do you think we will separate the wheat from the chaff with these two forces of energy and wages?
The market is extremely nervous about these wage pressures. And I think the oil story is, I think everyone is bracing for $100 oil. And I think that the question is, you know, once we break past 100, how long, you know, do we go to 110? Do we go to 120? And how long do we stay there? Because once we hit $100, then, you know, that's the trigger point where you're going to see production, more signals from oil producers that, we need to, increase production. And you're probably going to see that a lot of oil dependent countries, you know, the US, India, they're going to be China. They're going to be tapping their reserves a little bit more aggressively. And because I think right now what they see is they know that after this, by the summertime, you know, there's high expectations that crude will be lower than where we are right now. And I think that if you're looking a year out, that the energy prices should dramatically improve as well. It's just that right now this market is so tight. And you have a very gradual increase strategy by OPEC Plus. U.S. production is starting to ramp up, but we've had cold weather. We've had other factors that have really kind of, I think we saw U.S. production dip 3 out of the last 4 weeks. And that's not because they were trying to slow down production. No, it was because of weather, and there was other factors and disruptions that impacted that. So I think you're going to see elevated oil prices. And if we get another Arctic blast or two, that'll probably be the key catalyst. And as far as how that is going to impact the economy, I mean, if we're talking $100 oil, there are several companies and the consumer that are going to be hurting. So I think that, you know, the expectations are that this won't last, but there needs to be a much more aggressive approach in tackling these significant shortfalls in output that we're seeing. And unfortunately for the average person, you know, they need to prepare for much higher energy prices. And that's going to be what happens, I think, over the next, you know, several, probably until we get to the summertime. And as far as people hoping that, well, maybe we make, we wrap up negotiations with Iran and there's able to kind of make a deal in getting Iran back on the nuclear agreement and they can return some crude to the market, that's nowhere near happening. I think that there, you know, that won't be this first half of the year story. So we need more supply. And I think OPEC Plus is, eventually they're going to increase output because they know that eventually the Biden administration can't afford, even with the whole clean energy initiative, that there will come a point where you're killing the economy and you will basically make it a red wave at the midterms if you don't, you know, change your approach with energy. So I think that you're going to see some major pivots, I think, by the administration. They're holding off and they're hoping that they can see OPEC increase output beforehand. So I think oil is going to remain elevated. Any dip, a lot of energy traders are looking to buy it. And the wage pressure story, it's so many industries right now. It's a lot of people have a lot of a negotiating power right now. So it's fascinating to see how this labor shortage has really persisted, and the lack of talent and the shortage for several key jobs are really making this an attractive time for a lot of people.
It really seems like it's across the board that we're seeing labor shortages. Doesn't matter really what job you're looking at. I don't know of anybody, at least around me or anybody that I've heard of, that said they have too many employees. So it's a very different world that we are in right now. But hey, this week, again, going to be focused a lot on inflation, some of that inflation data. And I think we're all still just waiting for the next Fed meeting and some of these other central bank meetings to see how the market actually takes to some of these rate hiking policies that are coming. Ed, thank you, as always, for your time. We'll chat again next week. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.